My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I beg your pardon for my sins and the grace to spend this time of prayer fruitfully. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. There is some 28 miles northwest of Barcelona in Spain. Some of you perhaps have visited this place and are fortunate to visit Our Lady of Montserrat. In that place, the mountain of Montserrat, we find a Benedictine monastery, which we have at Marian Shrine. Has been venerated since the 8th century. And tradition tells us that the image was found there by Benedictine monks, who then built their monastery around the statue of Our Lady because they were unable to lift or move the statue. And the Shrine of Our Lady has been a central point in the spiritual lives of so many people and saints. Saint Ignatius of Loyola would surrender his sword to Our Lady there, praying, before he would take on the enterprise of Our Lord to found the Society of Jesus. Today, for us, in a very familiar way, we celebrate her feast, especially as she granted something very special to our Father. I can say a sweet favor to our Father by curing our Father of his diabetes. And it is a rather powerful moment in the life of our Father, because very few miracles have been really noted of our Father's life. Of course, when he was a child, he was gravely ill, and the next day he was cured. But we rarely find any other reference to a miracle that would occur in the life of our Father, although there were quite a number of showing divine providence, helping in small and extraordinary manners. But on April 27, that's 1954, we're told that our Father had received another treatment for his diabetes, which he had been suffering for almost 10 years. And religiously, he would go for the tests, but his condition only worsened. But this filled him with a lot of peace and serenity. And God taught him through that illness to go along paths of abandonment, humility, simplicity, and trust. And that very day, day like today, Blessed Alvaro was instructed by the doctor to give our Father an injection, a new prescription. As we are told by the narration, it was a delayed action insulin. And afterwards, they went down to the dining room to take lunch. And as our Father sat down, he suddenly felt very, very ill. And he realized that he could die any moment. And so his instant reaction was to tell Blessed Alvaro, give me the absolution. And of course, just like that, out of the blue, we know that Blessed Alvaro was confused and bewildered. But Father, what are you saying? And the last that our Father could say was, absolution. And when Blessed Albert could not still give it, our Father himself began to repeat the words, Ego te absolvo. And he fell unconscious on the floor. It was an anaphylactic shock. Immediately, Don Alvaro gave him the absolution, put some sugar in his mouth, and made him swallow it, dash water on his face, and move his head and limbs, and quickly summoned a doctor. It would be some minutes before the doctor would arrive. By the time, Saint Jose Maria would already recover and come around. And the doctor was astonished, since these types of incident reaction are normally fatal. After some hours, our father felt better and recovered even his sight, because he lost his sight for a few moments. And from the day onwards, his diabetes was cured. And there was no sign whatsoever of any of it recurring. And our father always saw that as a favor from Our Lady. There are some areas, some points here for our prayer that we could ask our Lord to help us to consider in our own lives. The first place, that our father almost died. In fact, he would say he died. The second, that he lost his sight for a number of perhaps hours. And third, how he carried on with that, you can say, señorío, that admirable capacity to embrace even something he was not familiar with, and was always there to think about the others, despite the gravity of that condition that he had just suffered. That our father died, Blessed Alvaro attested that when he saw our father fall to the ground, the floor, he says, it seemed our father was shrinking before my eyes, becoming small. And our father would, later when he comes back to himself and recovers, he would tell Don Alvaro that his entire life flashed before God that moment. And to which Don Alvaro would reply, Father, you look as fresh as the daisy now. You should have seen yourself a few hours ago. You really did look like a corpse. As we consider this brief moment in the life of our father, how small we are before God. How small we are before God. How short is our life? It may not have to be the same for us, but we stand before God at any moment in our life. And we become small before our Father God every time we realistically see ourselves as we truly are before Him. His creatures, His children. And we ask you, Lord, for this grace. You don't have to suffer a similar experience as our father. We hope not. But indeed, even now, we have to find ourselves small before our father, seeing the brevity, the temporality of our life, that really before God, in this life, we are nothing. What we deem that is ours, what we deem that we have accomplished, we have gathered, we have amassed, so to speak, is nothing. And somehow we have to allow before ourselves our whole life to flash to flash. Imagine in our father's case, he had been suffering the illness for about 10 years. But after that, the metabolic disorders that are characteristic of diabetes speedily disappeared. His insulin treatment was discontinued. And his doctor, Dr. Faeli, situated the key moment of the cure precisely in the occurrence just described when he was cured of it. And in a more scientific way, he would say he was cured of diabetes after an allergic attack in the form of a skin eruption and a sudden loss of consciousness. He emerged from that shock cured of the illness and its complications. He never had any relapse, and he was no longer under any dietary restriction. It is something that I could not explain scientifically. He was cured as a favor, as we saw, but somehow he had died to be cured, to be born anew, to be given another chance at life. This is your case and mine. Before our Father God, we are nothing. And life is very short. As the other day, as they're asking me to pray for a priest who had attended to someone's son who was in a very grave condition and later on died. But this priest, well, he precisely did not take care of a wound that he had, a small wound. After swimming, he had a wound. Took little notice of it. Sadly, that wound got infected, bacteria, and a few days later, he was rushed to the ICU, and he never recovered. So, very, very, life is so fragile, and we are so fragile before God. And when this happened to our father, he would later on say, that as his life flashed briefly before him, he had time to ask God's forgiveness for all the things he felt were faults of his, including even some failures in understanding. For example, the founder thought the Lord had once given him to understand that he would die much later. And he begged pardon for this too, for not having understood him. Imagine that even that small detail of not understanding our Lord, or assuming this is how it will be, imposing one's way of wanting it before God, was something that our father felt sorry for. And so it goes for us. How do we also, with childlike simplicity and abandonment, face and embrace our transient condition before our Father God? When our father comes to himself, the doctor examines him, but he did not tell the doctor immediately that he could not see. He was physically blinded. When the doctor left, and we are told in the biography of her father, the shock, it seemed, lasts for 10 minutes. After examining him, he saw that our father more or less was okay. In fact, he had seemed to have gotten well. Indeed, Saint Jose Maria immediately started worrying about that son of his. Learning that he had not yet had lunch, he had him eat something, chatting with him all the while, and giving no hint that he could not see. "My son," he said to Don Alvaro when the doctor had left, "it has left me blind." I cannot see a thing. Father, why didn't you tell the doctor? Because I did not want to worry him unnecessarily. This may just go away. He was blind for several hours, and gradually his sight returned. It would have been natural indeed for our father to tell the doctor, but at the moment that he came to himself, he thought more about his son. Asked him to eat, he didn't want him to worry, and somehow he felt that it was going to be only temporary. It is another consideration of ours in prayer. On the 2nd of October, our Father would see what our Father, our God, had wanted him to see. That for many years he would say, Domine, ut videm. And at this stage, he would also experience a physical blindness. He would not ask for it in the same way. But once again, it left him to trust God. And it also opened for him a deeper correspondence to God's call, a new stage of fruitfulness. It's precisely, this is what a sister of ours would say later on, giving witness to this episode. Actually, there are many things happening there. When our father fainted because of the shock, an assistant nunnery, our sister, was serving them lunch, and seeing our father collapse, was so terrified that she rushed into the kitchen and to tell people immediately what her impression was. Our father collapsed. I think he has died. And of course, the director there of the administration, with a lot of fortitude, said in a very shocking way also, as if to say, that's nonsense. No one dies here without my permission. She said that. And of course they were told by Don Alvaro to pray. And Encarnacion Ortega would say, that same evening, she was telling another sister of ours, Maria Jose Monterde, that because of all our praying, the Lord had heard us and had blessed our father with a new stage of fruitfulness. It was another stage in the Domine ut videm of seeing God's goodness, God's providence, to which our father would launch himself again with greater zeal and love and generosity. And we should also ask ourselves, are we ready to allow our Lord to help us to see things in a new way? To somehow shock us as well, to wake us up within our spiritual ascetical life, our commitments, our work, so that we just don't somehow sit back passively to watch things go by, especially in the context of the coming 100 years of the work. Because this calls for waking ourselves to this wonderful reality. And not just to sort of like take things as they are. Well, things will be as they are, but to take ourselves as we simply are and to be satisfied where we are, we have to somehow respond. We have to also ask our Lord, Domine, ut videm, Lord, that I may see. That I may see your will. That I may see what you want me to see. What you want me to do. It's something that we have to even now open ourselves to. A more generous awareness. If we are going to bear more fruit with sincerity, we have to ask our Lord, help me to see. Because the worst blindness, more than the physical blindness that our father had, is seeing but not wanting. Yes, I see it. I see that I'm in the stage of my life, my commitment, or of my the virtues that I'm struggling in, but I see it. But I don't want to. There's a resistance. I will just remain where I am. And in fact, that's what C.S. Lewis would say in the last book of his series of Narnia. When everyone was there in paradise, well, the dwarves were there in paradise as well. And they were situated in a table that was elaborately prepared for a feast. And yet, they could not see what was set before them. They could not see the beauty of paradise. Instead, they started throwing the implements at one another, the food at one another, and they started quarreling, despite those around them trying to show them that, hey. And sometimes we could be that. We are left behind. Not because we're the ones right, or we want our people to see what we are seeing, or but we are the ones left behind. And that feeling is something that that eats us from within, full of resentment, of negativity, as if, the term we would use, this person who only sees everything from the lens of his anger towards the world and towards others. And that being left behind is something we have to ask our Lord to help us to see. Dominate video. It's not anymore something intellectual. It's in the will, because one clings to it. One feels it. Because the clarity of the intellect is there. Otherwise, there's some impairment of the intellect. But it's now the will that has to assent to the fact of humbling itself and saying, I want to see. I want to see. But if we insist, then we will remain blind. And sadly, our blindness would also not help others see. And so, Lord, help us to see. In this stage where there is new light, new opportunities, an awakening of rediscovering the charism of the work, Domine ut video. Lord, help me to see. And the seeing is what will draw us towards that generosity in our apostolate, our work, our fraternity. After our father had more or less recovered, he was accompanied by Blessed Alvaro to the administration, just to assure them, to calm them, especially after the shock that it may have caused them, to reassure them that he was fine. This, and together with his concern for that doctor, or brother doctor of ours, are human elements. Without losing any of his composure, but neither denying that something had happened to him physiologically and spiritually. And so we should not be afraid to present ourselves to one another as we are, especially when we see how God chooses to make use of us as his instruments to help the others. How reassuring it is when the person we are praying for would approach us and say, thank you for your prayers. I am already healed. You meet a lot of people like that. And sometimes it could go for years that they don't tell you anything. Then after that, as a lady told me, Father, it's been 10 years since my battle against cancer. I'm now cured. It's joy, no? Of course, the continued restrictions, the checkups, but things have been going well for the past 10 years. It's wonderful. So, we reassure one another this way, that I'm okay. I may have gone through this difficulty, through this trial, through this misunderstanding, through what have you. But let's also give testimony of how grace has been working in us because of the others praying for us, being there for us, and saying thank you because you're there. Thank you because we're helping one another. And no one can just simply resign himself to say, see, I can do this alone on my own. I can manage on my own. Just you see and wait. No, and wait and see that I'll manage this on my own. Well, our Father, with all simplicity, shows himself as he is. Later on, the doctor would also learn how the concern of our Father was for him. How did our Father have all of these dispositions? He would tell us in the forge, if I were a leper, my mother would hug me. She would kiss my wounds without fear or hesitation. Well then, what would the Blessed Virgin do? When we feel we are like lepers, all full of sores, we cry out, Mother. And the protection of our mother will be a kiss upon our wounds, which obtains our cure. With simplicity, our Father saw himself before Our Lady in this way, like a leper. Simple. And that, in his humility, he allowed Our Lady to hug him. Sometimes when we are ill or we have some disorder, we are ashamed to be seen, to be addressed, to be cared for. But let us give ourselves up to Our Lady, especially in a feast like today. We ask her for the spiritual healing that we all need, so that, like our Father, we would see ourselves truly as we are before God, that we would once again see with a deeper perspective and generosity our commitment, our self-giving in the work and in the church. And this would launch us out to a more generous path of giving ourselves to souls within our family and in the church. Let us ask Our Lady of Montserrat, to give us the sweet flavor of her presence always in our life, a motherly presence that embraces us, consoles us, and heals us. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this meditation. I beg your help in performing them. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.